If you have your Bibles, let's turn in them to Luke chapter 21. In Luke chapter 21, we'll be reading the whole chapter, verses 1 through 38. Luke 21, 1 through 38. And beginning in Luke 21, verse 1, these are God's words, and they are infallible. That means they cannot err, and they are altogether true, as they are God's word. And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury, and he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, Of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God. But she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. And as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he said, As for these things which ye behold, the days will come in the which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? And he said, Take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. And the time draweth near, go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then said he unto them, Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines and pestilences and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what ye shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolk and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not an hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. And let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations, and with perplexity the sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And he spake to them a parable. Behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. And in the daytime he was teaching in the temple, and at night he went out and abode in the mount that is called the Mount of Olives. And all the people came early in the morning to him in the temple for to hear him. Those are God's words. It is in the whole of this chapter that Christ is answering the disciples' questions about the future, in which through verse 4, Jesus takes notice of the poor widow who gave everything she had, the two mites, into the temple treasury, whereas the others were giving out of their abundance. She gave all that she had. And then through verse 7, the question comes about the temple, as Jesus predicts the temple's destruction, and the disciples ask, when? And through verse 19, Jesus describes what will happen between that point and the destruction of the temple, even false Christs arising, bloody wars and persecutions of Christians that we see in the book of Acts. And then through verse 24, he describes the destruction of the temple itself. And then through verse 33, the second coming of Christ to judge the world. And the remaining verses then give practical applications for living. Now, namely, he says, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. And his instruction to us is, watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. And so, beloved, watch and pray. You are called to live righteous lives in Christ Jesus, awaiting the second coming in hope of your redemption. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we're thankful for your word. We know that there are a lot more details we could discuss of this chapter about our current time and the future, and also about the past. But Father, for now we leave them with you, that you would, by your Holy Spirit, train us up, that we would be those who are watchful and those who pray as we await the second coming and the great judgment of Christ your Son. That you would not hold us guilty before the judgment seat, but that you would receive us for Christ's sake, each one of us, from the youngest even in the womb all the way to the oldest amongst us and our fellow believers throughout the world. Father, we do pray and plead that you would call your elect unto yourself. We're thankful for those you have brought to us who are diligent to observe the ordinary means of grace, the word, the sacraments, and prayer. We pray that you would humble us concerning these things, that you would continue to make us diligent upon these means to make use of them. For we know in this place, at least wherever we gather, that it is there that you promise to bless your people especially. For you love the gates of Zion more than all the dwelling places of Jacob. And so, Father, we pray by your Spirit, strengthen us for the future, that by your Spirit we would be put in the way of blessing, in the way of your ordinary means, the reading and preaching of your word, the singing of your word, the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper and prayer, and all those other means of grace, like fasting and covenanting, and things like that. Father, we pray that you will cause us to make good use of them for your glory, for your name to be exalted and praised and worshipped. For that is why we are here, to worship and serve your great and mighty name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Father, we're thankful that you bring us before the General Assembly and the saints who've been made perfect and the myriads of angels and all your heavenly beings. That you bring us in our hearts, you lift up our hearts unto your throne. Before the throne of grace. And by your command, by your call, we come boldly to your throne to find help in our time of need. Even help concerning our sin. Help concerning decisions we must make. Help concerning our lives that we must live and our jobs, our callings in this life. But above all, we pray that you would make us to be a people who seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. That we would be watchful and pray. Father, we pray for our nation. As we've considered a little bit every week, our nation. We pray that you would turn our nation from the judgment that will come upon them, that we've been made more liable to from our breaking of your covenant, of turning from Christ, of turning from you, even with having the Word of God, just like the Jews, having the Word of God amply supplied to this nation. And yet we have, as citizens generally and corporately, we have turned from you and gone in great sins of abortion and murdering children. We've exalted as a nation sexual perversities of adultery and homosexuality and many other variations of that. Of the seventh, of breaking the seventh commandment. But above all, Father, we exalt, we have exalted, and turning from you and having other gods, worshiping in false ways, even in the church, in this nation, and taking your name in vain, and breaking the Sabbath day, where once in this nation it was somewhat honored. Now it is unimportant. And how many are going about shopping today and watching, playing sports and entertainments? When you call your people to keep the Sabbath day, the whole of the day, not part of it, not the morning, not the evening, but the whole of the day, holy, set apart, different, for your glory and for your name to be exalted, that we would truly rest our souls in you. And yet we have turned from this way as a nation and even much of the church. And Father, we pray that you would turn us from this way. Only you can save us from it and the judgments that we deserve. We pray that you would save our rulers, that they would covenant with Christ, and then by this repent of our nation's sins. We ask that you would turn them to yourself to rule according to your law, to love Christ, to exalt in Christ, and to call the churches to proclaim the truth of the gospel, and that you would call through them, even the nation's leaders, call them to call the churches to worship the Lord according to the Scriptures, whatever that might be, as decided by the churches, according to your word alone. that they would not enter into the courts of the church, that they would remain in their own jurisdiction of the nation and the magistrate and the government. And yet they are called, as we've learned, to aid the church in calling all the citizens to worship in the churches. We pray that that would happen one day. And Father, we pray that you would, by this, hold off your judgments from us. And in the church, Father, we pray that you would humble us before your throne. As we heard this morning, we're no more than dogs, like Mephibosheth said. We don't deserve anything good. But you've given us a Savior in Christ, your Son. And so we are in union with Him. And what great joy there is in our hearts because of this. Because Christ sits on the throne, exalted as the Mediator King, King of kings and Lord of lords and God of gods. And He rules and reigns over all nations and is head of the church. And so we come, even now, bowing the knee, bowing our hearts before His throne, and we submit unto Him. We pray that you would forgive us of our sins where we are not submitting unto Him and His authority, and that you would move us by your Spirit to submit and bow the knee in every area of life. That again, that we would seek first your kingdom, not our own, but yours. That your name would go forth to the nations, and all the Gentiles, all the Jews would come in. And at the right time, Christ would return. And raise us up from the dead. And call the saints who are still upon the earth to join Him in the air. To conquer this earth for your glory. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.